Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, and welcome back aboard the Andy and Amanda Friday Show. I am Andy. We're still waiting for Amanda to join us, and I think she will be joining us here in just a couple of minutes. And I want to welcome everybody back on board another adventure on our show, on the Andy and Amanda Show. Heard around the world, 22 countries, primarily North America and the UK, Mexico, Germany, Canada, Australia. Well, we have a lot of countries, but those are the major markets we're heard in, have fans in, and I want to welcome everybody aboard. Hope everybody's doing well, and we're up for another exciting adventure on internet radio. Our number here on the studio to get into the show is 515-605-9888, and we're going to welcome everybody who wants to participate in the show on board to talk about whatever you would like to talk about. That's what we do here. We're unscripted, raw, unrehearsed, talking about the news headlines. Today's Friday show, we normally talk about finance and stocks and the AMC stock squeeze, which we're going to touch upon that again today and see where we stand. Are we any closer to the AMC squeeze? How's that interest on the loans, on the shared shorts? Shorts, not like you wear shorts, but short sales of stock. And we'll see where that is. And just a lot, you know, I'll tell you, since we got involved in all this back in July, end of July, there's been so much lingo and buzzwords and things that I've still sometimes don't understand, but getting there, getting better. And I've done some fun things too, and kind of, you know, I guess you can call it day trading. And I want to talk about that because I never did any of this before. And I just got having some guests like Lee Van Dusen and on the show, who's kind of enlightened us about the opportunities, about what people are doing. And you know, I kind of got excited about it. And all of us here at the Andy and Amanda Show said, hey, let's play around with this. And I've done pretty well. But we, you know, we're going to talk more about that a little bit later on in the show. Waiting for Amanda to join us here. And I'm sure she will. I'm going to take a couple minutes here and see if I can find her. She's 8,000 miles away. How am I going to do that? Mm-mm-mm. But anyway, a couple things I wanted to discuss what they are in the news, actually, what they are in the news, is the almost shutdown again of the federal government, United States. And I just want to bring up that it's interesting when Trump was in office and faced with the same thing. Actually, the government had the longest shutdown in history under Trump, but under another almost shutdown during the Trump presidency, Mitch McConnell, who's now the minority leader in the Senate of the United States, said there's no way they're going to let the government shut down. It just isn't going to happen. And then when Biden is in office and they're confronted with the same situation, he says, oh, we're not going to pass anything, and if it shuts down, it shuts down. It's just really interesting. He thought about, I think the Republicans, not every single one of them, obviously, but many of them, the majority of the party, especially Mitch McConnell, who's their leader, and McCarthy, who's their minority leader in Congress, are all about themselves and about their party and about their platform and about pounding their chest, not about the well-being and the welfare of the American people. That's my take on it. If you know, I don't know if it's your take or not. That's why we leave these phone lines open for you to call in and you know, educate us, inform us. What's your take? Well, you know, are we wrong? I don't think so. You know, my assessment is always right. No, But anyway, we welcome your calls. 515-605-9888. In California, which is where is located, the vaccine, the COVID vaccine, immunization is required for in-person school attendance. That is from Governor Gavin Newsom. We were talking about, let me go back. On the, there's still, millions of 90 million or more anti-vaxxers. I'll say anti-vaxxers. People, they're not anti-vaccine, anti-this vaccine, COVID vaccine, for whatever reason. And some have medical conditions which are concerning to them, which would to believe that a vaccine could harm to themselves by, getting and on those underlying conditions, which is just very, very few. I'm not an expert. I'm not a doctor. I've got no doctor degree, no research science degree, but just from what I've heard and read in my own education and research, there's very and how this vaccine works, the actual mechanics of what it does, the physiology of the vaccine, sitting external to cells. There's very little that this vaccine can do regarding interfering with other issues that one might have. There might be a few. Again, some doctors can come on here and say, well, here's this, this, and this. And they're probably right, but I'm not saying that as a generalization. I'm just saying that overall. But anyway, getting back to what I was saying, anti-vaxxers, do they get the measles vaccine? Do they get the polio vaccine? They get the smallpox vaccine? They get I think there's a medical name for the whooping cough vaccine, meningitis vaccine. Not only did they get these vaccines, but they probably got them as infants before they went to school because their parents took them to the doctors and the doctor said, you should get these vaccines. As a matter of fact, you have to get these vaccines if you go to public school in most states. And they do. They will quit questioning. No. It's our freedom. It's our right. We're not going to know. I'm not going to get a tetanus shot. It's my right. It's my business. Any anti-tetanus shot vaccine folks out there? Call us. So I want to let everybody know that we're on Block Talk Radio. That's the foundation. That's the platform for our show. And you can reach our show on Block Talk Radio at 515. You can reach our show on Block Talk Radio at blocktalkradio.com/Andy and Amanda Show. There's a bunch of great programs on Block Talk Radio. And it's an internet talk radio form. To grab your microphones and do what we've been doing. We have a radio show that's also goes beyond Blog Talk Radio, of course, but that's the platform we use. And it gives us a bunch of phone lines and switchboards, enables us to play audio clips and have a lot of fun. Connect the UK and the USA, how we do it, getting their services to the Andy Demander show here. Our ultimate goal, of course, is to go on SiriusXM or comparable reach. Yeah, what we can be heard. We're in 22 countries around the world right now, and primarily, again, over North America. Anyway, as I was saying, what was I saying? Where's Amanda? Let me get me sit back in the blabber on. But let's go over some other news. We're talking about the vaccine, and I just can't believe that it's getting vaccinated. But they've had qualms when it comes to getting. The measles, I think, again, we addressed. If you heard the last show, I'm going to reiterate this. The last show, we mentioned this as a fact, and we said what the numbers were, the actual data, how much more contagious the measles virus is than the COVID virus. It's by huge numbers, gigantic numbers. But why aren't we seeing masses of people getting sick, running to the hospital because of measles? Why aren't we seeing that? Go ahead. Think about it. Why aren't we seeing it? Oh, you got vaccinated. Oh, everybody vaccinated. But almost everybody. Well, then, isn't you're right not to get vaccinated against measles? Why would you want to do that? Why would you want to get vaccinated against measles? That's your right not to, God damn it. Huh? Anyway, I go on and on and on, but we won't. I won't. Anyway, there's a, as Amanda was saying our last show, there's a pill that's going to be coming out that cuts the risk of death by half, says Merck Pharmaceuticals, which will seek an emergency authorization. Anybody want to go look at the stock reports from Merck? Risk of hospitalization or death from COVID-19 by 50%. This is in a recent study. Mm-hmm. And it's the study can be seen, I'm looking at it, it's by Merck and Ridgeback Biotherapeutics. I came out today. It will become the first oral medicine that fights viral infection for COVID-19 if approved by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration for emergency use authorization. Also on Friday, we're going to start seeing today announced that not only did we see the school mandate requiring vaccines, but also in California, you're going to start seeing effective November, I forget the date, you're going to have to show a vaccination card to go to indoors to restaurants and bars. Now, I don't know if that means the vaccination card is larger than a, I think it's wide. I don't have mine on me right here, but it doesn't comfortably fit in your wallet unless you have a real big wallet, I guess. Or if you're a woman, you might carry a purse or something. If you're a man, you might have a purse too. I don't know. What do I know? But anyway, it's wide. So I don't know if they'll accept you take a picture of your card with your phone. We'll have to look into that further because that's what I would do. So I tried to put mine in my wallet and it didn't fit comfortably. It stuck out. You know what I mean? I don't want to damage it. Anyway, the school mandate for vaccines will affect 6 million students in the state of California in public schools. 6 million students. That's 6 million students that won't get seriously ill from COVID, nor will they spread the disease to friends and loved ones. And they won't get sick and die either because supposedly they're vaccinated. Now, remember this. You can. There are breakthrough cases. You got one and pretty sick in that time period. There are breakthrough cases. We know that. It's very, 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 very underlined, bold, italicized, all that crap. Far and few between. And that's a fact, folks. That's a fact. It's a fact. So if you haven't gotten vaccinated, please. Okay. Thank you. Anyway, what else was I going to talk about here to do on the news? I had a bunch of things I want to go over. Hopefully I'll get to them all. Hopefully I will. And we're going to have Amanda join us here shortly. Oh, you know what? I am not a huge fan of President Biden's selection of Kamala Harris as vice president. I'm not opposed to her. I think it's just phenomenal being a woman, a black woman coming into the office of the vice president, first time in history. Excellent, fantastic, great. But I'm not terribly impressed by her, and I question if anything, God forbid, should ever happen to Joe Biden. God forbid, I'm an atheist, but you know what I'm saying. If anything should happen to Joe Biden, I don't know how much faith I would have in Kamala Harris as president. Again, if you disagree, that's what we're here for, for you to call and have a conversation, share your thoughts, opinions, ideas. 515-605-9888. Have I said that number enough? And most of you are hearing this show via podcast. I realize that too. I know that. So you can't call in live on the podcast, obviously. But remember this, Monday we go back, our new time on Monday. We used to be at noon on Monday in the Eastern Daylight Time. Now we're going to make all our shows at the same time at 3 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time or 8 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time, Universal Time, 8 p.m. Whatever time that is in the world, you can check in live at andyamandashow.com. Hit the link. You call in the show and join our conversation. Hey, you know, big time. I mean, really, just come on, have a conversation, talk about what you want to talk about, tell us some jokes, make us laugh. While visiting a political science class at George Mason University on Tuesday of this week to honor National Voter Registration Day, the vice president took questions from three students, including one who brought up the nation's funding of Israel in a very lengthy question. The student brought up and said, "You brought up how the power of the people and demonstrations and organizing is very valuable in America. I see that over the summer there have been like protests and demonstrations in astronomical numbers done with Palestine. But then just a few days ago, there were funds allocated to continue backing Israel, which hurts my heart because it's an ethnic genocide and a displacement of people, the same that happened in America. And I'm sure you're aware of this." The student said, in part of a question, saying that the funding occurs as Americans suffer at home. And she continues to say, "And I feel like there's a lack of listening, and I just feel like I need to bring that up because it affects my life and the people I really care about and their life." Harris, second gentleman, Doug Ernoff, who is Jewish, responded, "I'm glad you did." Quote, and again, this is about the fact your voice, your perspective, your experience, your truth cannot be suppressed and it must be heard. Our goal should be unity, but not uniformity, Harris said. "And the point that you're making about policies that relates to the Middle East policy," she continued, "foreign policy, we have healthy debates in our country about what is the right path, and nobody's voice should be suppressed on that." The lack of pushback from Harris, seemingly, to the student while taking questions during the visit has become the latest hiccup for her office. Again, seemingly, if you're aware of what happened on Tuesday at all. And I don't think that that helped, you know, several faux-pas, fueled in part by the vice president's messaging mishaps. I think this latest communication mishap comes on a particularly kind of a tough, debated topic, as progressives and other activists have been putting pressure on Democrats to take a more critical stance toward Israel, which has long enjoyed bipartisan support in Washington. And it wasn't long after that exchange where a Harris senior staff member has been reaching out to the heads of several leading pro-Israel organizations per a source in the, you know, familiar with the matter in the Harris office. But we'll see how that continues and how that manifests itself, and does that get suppressed? Will the Fox News network be doing nothing but talking about that and bashing Harris and bashing Biden and bashing how big the Democrats are and spreading more lies and so forth? Is that what's going to happen? We'll see. Be interesting. You know, I just want to point this out to you in case you flip on the news or listen to news radio or watch Fox and know where you heard this, you know, on the Andy Mander show here. Just got to talk about it because I think it's important. And again, I could change, you know, but right now, from what I've witnessed, and this is only my perceptions, that's all I can talk about is my perceptions, I'm not a huge fan of Kamala Harris. It's interesting, my youngest daughter, who's a college student, she was editor of her school paper and also had a summer job of a Los Angeles area newspaper as a writer when she was 18, 17, 18, whatever. She's a phenomenal writer, very conscientious, amazingly conscientious and really caring and really into social justice and so forth. And she, during the presidential campaigns, back in the primary stages, you know, living in California, she presented articles and debated extensively on why Kamala Harris should not be president of the United States, let alone vice president, based on her track record as the Attorney General for the state of California, and brought up some very valid points, very valid points. And of course, Kamala Harris her campaign didn't last long at all. It was a heartbeat, bam, gone. I'm not bashing. No, don't take this as an Andy bash of the Biden administration or of Kamala Harris. Just my perceptions so far, from what I know, what I've been able to absorb and witness. I'm not terribly impressed, and again, as I said earlier, would have some concerns if anything should happen to Joe Biden, but that's not an issue. I don't think it's going to happen to him. I think he's going to be fine. I think he's going to run again, and should he face Donald Trump again, he'll win again, which is interesting. I got to talk about this just for a second. This is making me laugh. Make you laugh, too. Rudy Giuliani is being sued. You know, and he gave a deposition. And in his deposition, he admitted that he had no idea. I mean, he said this, right? And you can look this up yourself. You know, I'm not going to spoon feed you here. You're grown. You know, I don't care how old you are. You can look this up yourself. I'm not going to spoon feed you information or give you information. You say, he's making that up. That ain't true. No, you do your own research. I'm just going to bring it up. Then you go ahead and find out the facts and call me back with them, okay? But what he said was that he didn't know whether the 30%. Anyway, he didn't know whether the information that he spewed regarding the voting machines being changed and tampered with, he didn't know whether that was true or not. In a sworn deposition, he said that. That during the time when he was out there campaigning and standing behind the podium, giving press interviews in front of porn shops in Northeast Philadelphia and so forth, he had no idea, with the oil running out of his head or whatever that was, he had no idea whether the information that he spoke of was true or not. He didn't know. He said that. Okay. Well, you know, that's a fact. That's a fact. And he didn't know, you know, who's the pillow guy, the guy who makes pillows, who advertises on cable TV, suddenly became a somebody who promotes the big lie again, continually. I've got evidence. Where Biden won by 30% in one state, it wasn't Biden who won, it was Trump who won by 30%. They reversed it. Oh, God. It's unbelievable. And people believe it. You know, that's a spooky thing. You know? Anyway, there's so much more to talk about. I'm going to drink my pumpkin spice coffee here from Trader Joe's. Let me check this out. Used to be heated up a little bit, but not bad. Anybody out there like Trader Joe's? We live at Trader Joe's. Somehow, I don't know how they do it, and I'm not doing a commercial for Trader Joe's, but when we like something, we talk about it, like Kona beer. I think it's the best beer you can, you know, pick up, the variety pack. You got to try it if you hadn't. It's phenomenal beer. All right, I said the best beer. Okay, I don't know if it's the best beer, but it's a very, very, very good beer that you should try if you haven't. Kona beer. I was introduced to it during a music tour in Hawaii. That's one of my real gig, folks. I play music. And the producer who brought me over there, also a great musician named James McCarthy. He's incredible. Singer, songwriter, balladeer, actor, teacher, musician. He's in Hawaii. He brought me over there, booked some shows for me, and introduced me to Kona beer. And I've never looked back. It's been my beer of choice. And Trader Joe's, everything I've ever bought there, no matter what it is, doesn't matter what it is, it's really, really good. You want to try their Indian foods. Like they have this refrigerated chicken tikka masala. You can get a bigger portion of it, and it's like $5 or $6. And then you can also go at frozen for $3.50 or $3.40, now, well, $3 something, whatever. The bigger portions are refrigerated, not frozen. And it's you put it in the microwave for 3 minutes and 20 seconds, and bam, you know, it's rice and the chicken tikka masala. And it is really, really good. I mean, go to an Indian restaurant. You pay $19, $20, $25 for chicken tikka masala. Go to Trader Joe's, spend $5, tell me what you think. Unbelievable. I mean, really. But, you know, it's good coffees, good food, good fresh vegetables and fruits, amazing flower selections if you want to get your significant other flowers or buy flowers for yourself. That's what I do at my house. We buy flowers just to have here. Anyway, So what was I going to talk about? Like, I don't have Amanda here to bounce that off of, because normally she reminds us. Amanda, what was I just saying? Oh, pumpkin spice. You know, like I'm drinking this pumpkin spice coffee right now. Do you enjoy pumpkin spice like lattes or pumpkin bread? And, you know, now that it is officially fall and you have this earning to go get something with a pumpkin flavor, maybe. Catching a whiff of that pumpkin spice flavored food or drink can trigger emotions and memories that go way deep, much further, deeper rooted than just a hunger pang. And, you know, they combine, you know, if you combine that and the smell and the kind of the feeling you get when you hail that spice, that pumpkin spice smell, you know what I'm talking about? That's where the phrase pumpkin spice actually comes from, you know. It's yes, but anyway, when you smell something, in this case, let's talk about pumpkin spice. The part of your brain that processes smell is closely tied to the part of your brain responsible for memories. Mm-hmm. Interesting, isn't it? And it's that close connection that accounts for the fact that smells such as musty books, that kind of thing, you know, mold, milk, can take you back to, you know, way back in your life. You know, sessions at the library, campfires, you know, that campfire smell? Do you ever like walk by like logs or anything, or it just smells like somebody's got a fire in a neighbor's yard and you smell that campfire smell or something, and it takes you back to that experience. And it is that phenomenon, if you will, or that proximity of those sensors in your brain that kind of, when you smell that pumpkin spice, you know, smell, the scent, it brings you back to that. That's part of the grab. That's part of the grip that you go and you buy that pumpkin bread and get that pumpkin spice coffee and the cinnamon, ginger, and nutmeg that you know, that's made in a lot of fall desserts and drinks and so forth. You know, when I say eggnog, what do you think of? Bring, real quick, eggnog. First thing comes to your mind, eggnog. Boom, go. What do you think of? Right away, boom. Taste of what eggnog is, or is it the experience of what eggnog presents to you in your life? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Anyway, so we were going to go behind the scenes today, but I don't know if we're going to get to it. We're going to go behind the scenes. Amanda was going to take us behind the scenes of the Addams Family. Let's see if we know where Amanda is. Do-do-do-do-do. But we've done this before. Amanda has taken over a show sometimes when we had technical difficulties on my end, and I've done solo shows, scheduled solo shows, as well as accidental solo shows, trying to make a difference in the world, you know, and to our listeners.
Here I come to save the day.
Yes.
Here I come.
Yes. Anyway, so yes, this is the Andy and Amanda Show, and what I want to do is I want to try to find here, if you give me a minute, I'm going to try to find a I'm going to find a clip that I want to play for you.
If you don't like it, I'm going to whoop you.
Well, you know, don't like it. I got to find it first. I got to find it. Oh, speaking of blasts from the past, I'll get that clip. Speaking of blasts from the past, I want to play this clip and tell me, andyandamandashow@gmail.com, what does this clip take you back to? What point of your life?
He did was fantastic.
Yeah. That was Jorma Kalkinen and Jack Cassidy, otherwise known as Hot Tuna. Both of them were the bass player. Jack was the bass player. Norma, the guitar player in the band Jefferson Airplane. Remember the Woodstock? Gracie Slick, Jefferson Airplane. Then became Jefferson Starship. If you don't know Jorma Kaukonen, you've got to check him and Hot Tuna out. And Jack Cassidy, they've been playing together forever. I mean, forever. Forever and ever. And I don't know if you know the song Know You Riders, Genesis. There's many others. But if you're into, you know, folky blues, finger-picking guitar, some old-timey stuff, you got to check out Jack Cassidy. He plays bass, but Jorma, spelled J-O-R-M-A, Kaukonen, spelled K-A-U-K-O-N-E-N. Check out their music. That was White Rabbit that they unplugged acoustic at a Hot Tuna show. After all, they were the you know, musicians, the guitar player and bass player in the Jefferson Airplane. You know what's interesting? Well, a lot of things are interesting, of course. What kind of question is that? The you ever hear Fox News comment about the vaccines, how they, you know, shouldn't be, you know, like it's ridiculous for them to be mandated and for businesses to require, you know, vaccines. You can't do that and so forth. Yeah, let's take a listen. I wonder if we go inside Fox News here, what are their own corporate, what's Fox News corporate policy regarding the vaccines? We know what their commentators say, but what's Fox News policy? What's their policy? Let's find out.
Biden rolls out a policy, which is, you have 100 employees, you've got to vaccinate, or you've got to test weekly. No mandated masking for the unvaccinated. Fox's on-air talent goes on and says, this is tyrannical, this is not freedom, this is un-American, this must be stopped, this could be against the law. And yet, behind the scenes, Fox News has the same vaccinator test requirement, except at Fox, it's not a weekly test, it's a daily test if you're unvaccinated. And in addition to that, in some settings, if you're unvaccinated, you have to keep wearing a mask. It is much stricter at Fox News than what Fox's own on-air talent decries as tyrannical government oppression, as outlined by Joe Biden in his proposal. So why hasn't Tucker Carlson resigned to protest these dystopian policies?
Great, great wall.
The greatest lie Donald Trump ever told you wasn't that Mexico was going to pay for the wall.
And Mexico will pay for the wall.
Or that he had a better health care plan than Obamacare.
We're signing a health care plan within 2 weeks.
Or that he would release his taxes after he became president.
They're extremely complex. People wouldn't understand him.
Donald Trump's greatest lie was convincing you that he was like you. He convinced 62 million hardworking Americans that he was one of them. But you know that's not true. The truth is that he's nothing like you. Fact. When you, your father, or grandfather was drafted to serve in Vietnam, the call was answered. Donald Trump got 5 deferments.
We drafted the lowest income level of America and the highest income level found a doctor that would say that they had a bone spur. That is wrong.
Fact. When you started your business, you scratched together every nickel you had and built something from nothing. Donald Trump's father gave him $11 million to start his business and just kept giving him loans every time he got into trouble. Donald Trump has never worked a hard day in his entire life. Fact. When your small business was in trouble, you knuckled down, worked harder, and made sacrifices until you got back on your feet. Donald Trump declared bankruptcy 6 times. See, Donald Trump is nothing like you. You haven't been accused by 30 women of sexual assault or rape. You haven't destroyed families and put children in cages. You haven't let Russia put bounties on American soldiers' heads. You haven't called American soldiers and veterans losers and suckers. You aren't responsible for over 185,000 deaths because you failed to do your job. You're nothing like Donald Trump.
Yeah, you're nothing like Donald Trump, folks. I just wanted to play that. We're going to play that again in future shows. Just heard from, actually, Amanda Love had let the show know earlier that she had a family emergency involving her nephew, and hope all is well there, but she couldn't make the show today. So, yes, that you're formally excused, Amanda. We miss you greatly on the show, of course, but we're hanging in there and kind of talking about some things that need to be talked about. And for example, now we do miss you, babes. Samuel Alito, who's a Supreme Court justice, he became the fifth of nine justices to speak out denouncing critics who are seeking to portray the court as a sneaky and sinister in attempt to intimidate the justices. He told a Notre Dame Law School audience that the court has been wrongly cast as a dangerous cobble in deciding important issues in improperly in the middle of the night. It's interesting when you think about it, because I know that he and other justices have been speaking out and condemned news media for playing up the significance of the court's September 1st decision that allowed an abortion ban to, after about 6 weeks of pregnancy to take effect. But you know, I don't know how they did that, because it is law, that the federal law, that abortion is legal, and I don't know how this. Of course, the Department of Justice is suing the state of Texas. First time ever that's happened, suing any state. But you're starting to see the Supreme Court justices now speak up, because, you know, it's very rare that so many justices have uttered such kind of provocative off-the-bench comments at the same time. You know. But they all what that really does, I think, is it highlights the potential for declining confidence in America's Supreme Court, the highest court in the land. So, and it's kind of interesting to see what's going on there too. Boy, I don't remember this country being so divided in so many ways, so many levels. I don't remember my whole life. I've never seen it. Never seen it. Have you? Hey, let's move on. And I'm thinking Britney Spears here, but I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. So, given that, now I'm going to talk about Britney Spears. I was going to. One thing I do want to mention, that was all over the map here, I'm sorry. The Idaho Secretary of State formally refuted Mike Lindell's statewide election manipulation claims. You know, I mean, everybody has, but now the Idaho Secretary of State has too. And that also, where Lindell said it was Trump who won by 30%. You know, Biden, unbelievable. What I want to get to here, and excuse the distraction because I'm looking up the news right now as we speak, AMC stock squeeze. Anybody playing that game? Do we have any Ape Nation folks out there? AMC is currently at 38.37, or for the day up 0.0. Let me see. It's going up still. It's 0.81% of the day. It was in the 40s, dipping, playing around that 40. I'd be looking for a bounce up by, let's see, we have, it's 3:39 there in the East Coast right now. So what, the market closes at 4? I'd be looking for a bounce up to 39. I might be wrong about that, but I think the next week we'll probably. It's hard to say what's going to happen early part of the week. And I'm just talking about AMC. But actually, I can talk about the market in general. I think when Monday morning, first thing, boom, things go take a trajectory one way or the other. And it's hard to play that first, 15 minutes on Monday, that first 20 minutes. You might have some trades lined up, some buys you want to make or some sells you want to make. And, you kind of analyze the market, analyze your picture and your positions over the weekend. And then you come into, morning, whether it's Monday morning or any morning, really, but specifically in this case, Monday morning, and say, hey, I'm going to launch these and get my orders in. And that first 15, 20 minutes is a tough time. I think it's a risky time to do anything. Let things kind of settle down a little bit, see where things are going to go, see what the trajectories are, what the trends are, what the news is, who's doing what to who. And of course, we know that the AMC, we've discussed about this, we've discussed this quite a bit, that AMC is not being bought by our retail investor market, which is over 4 million people involved in this right now, owning 80% of the shares. You know, and the rest are, you know, and those, a lot of those hedge fund companies, the big movers and shakers, who borrowed shares, who bet on the short. Or you know, the interest on those loans is going to become due. they have to pay the paper eventually, because they all thought the AMC was going to go, you know, way down, or maybe even go bankrupt. And retail investors moved in and say, "We're not going to let that happen. We're supporting the company. We're buying stocks. We're going to." And so you guys bet it short. Eventually, again, those shorts are going to have to be canceled and paid for, liquidated. By the hedge fund companies that bought them, that borrowed them, that did those loans. And if they can't pay the piper, their hedge fund will be liquidated, and the DTTC and SEC comes in and pays off the balance. That's how the mechanics work of a squeeze. Now, given the fact that there's 4 million retail investors involved in AMC, just AMC, and some are looking at other short squeezes, not as potentially is humongous, is gigantic. This is going to be the mother of all squeezes as the AMC squeeze, but there's still retail investors are getting more and more involved in the market, kind of shaking things up a little bit, because we all know who's been maneuvering and manipulating the market for decades, right? We know who's been doing that. Hasn't been you and I, you know, has been us, right? Now it is. And well, no, it isn't, but we're having more of an impact, right? So, this AMC, it's going up. It's going up and up and up. Come on, come on, come on, come on. I think we're going to see, you know, it'll come up to 41, 42, maybe by Tuesday. I think maybe Wednesday we'll hit 43, 44, 42. Then it'll get slapped down, come up. But as I was saying just a minute or two ago, and I want to come back to this because it's important, that the AMC stock investment isn't like investing in Apple or Ford or Microsoft or Tesla. It's because those are like the big, you know, the blue chip buys. You know, Ford's going to – I invested in Ford, you know, recently, and I've already made money in Ford. I thought it was going to go lower, and I had a limit buy-in at like $7 a share because I thought it was going to go way down that low. It never did. It went down to like 12 or something, and I bought it. It wasn't hitting my limit. It wasn't hitting my 7. I thought, come on, everybody, all the other auto manufacturers, you know. But Ford is a leader in many, many ways. We know that in their technology advancements. And speaking of which, when they come out with the Lightning F-150, which is going to give the Tesla Cybertruck a nice competitor in the field, with over-the-air updates, driver assist, autopilot. You know, I'm not going to say self-driving, but you know what I'm saying. You keep your hand on the wheel and it navigates for you and does all the lane changes and you know, point-to-point driving. But you got to keep your hand on the wheel. You got to manage it. It's going to do all that, and it's got a higher load capacity than the Cybertruck, more flexibility than the Cybertruck, and when the Lightning 150 comes out, I think you're going to see some potential Cybertruck buyers, and I'm a huge fan of Tesla. Gigantic. I have one. I'm a huge fan of that company, you know, but I think you're going to see some Cybertruck potentials go to the Lightning 150, and I think you're going to see Ford move way up. And I was hoping that it would go way down so I can buy more shares. But since I couldn't do that, I just said, okay, whatever it is. Heck with it, I'll buy it. I think I bought it at 12 or whatever it is, or 11 or something. I forget. But anyway, I'm looking forward for a long term, right? I'm looking at Tesla. I've made money in Tesla long term. I've got other stocks long term. Some are going down a little bit. You know, biotech companies that are making advancements in cancer research and so forth. How about Merck with the pill? You're seeing more competitors in the COVID, anti-COVID war, and as you're seeing more competitors, you're seeing the Pfizer's and the Modella's a beer. I keep doing that. Pfizer's and the Moderna, you know, be more competitive, and they're. Their stocks being a little, you know, more maybe not doing as well as you may have projected them to do. But look at Merck, and look what their stock's doing. And look what it might do when this pill comes out. Holy smokes! You know, and I'm not telling you, I'm not a financial advisor. I mean, I know I'm new at this. Believe me, I'm the last person to take advice from. I'm just telling you what I've done and what my, in the short time I've been doing this, what my perceptions and insights are. And I've been kind of doing the day trading game. Like, I'll get involved in something in the morning, see how it does that day. You know, get involved, in New York time, early in the mornings, you know, wait that 20 minutes, half hour or so, see where things are going, look at the news, look at the market research, who's doing what to who. And I've even bought stocks and companies, just looked at the symbols, saw what they're doing, saw the green, the trajectory, bam, I'm going to get on that. I get on, I piggyback the ride up, boom, get out of it the next day or that day, and I've made money. I don't know what to tell them. What do I know? You know, people say, well, that's a risky way to play the market, and a lot of you out there who know a whole lot more about trading than I do, I know that. But I've been doing well. I really have been. And if you're doing well, if it ain't broke, not that I continue. You know, I do my research. I don't just, throw money on red to see if it lands. I do the research. I do that. But sometimes when I see something going way up, I buy it, and then I do the research. Why is it going up? And I hang in there. Or sometimes I get, and I'll wait a day or two, see what it does. And I've also waited a day or two when it's gone down. Boom, 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 But I'm doing all right. I was a few weeks ago, I was up 31%, and now I'm up. Now I might even be down a little bit. And the reason why, I'll explain why. When AMC was up at 52, I had a bunch of AMC stock. I was like, great. But then again, I wanted to go down because I didn't want to pay 52. I want to buy more. 100 more shares, 300 more shares. And I didn't want to pay $52 a piece for it. I'm thinking it's got to go down. I want that money back so I can buy more shares at a lower price, right? So I can buy, I'd rather have more volume shares, because when that squeeze happens and there's people projecting these shares are going to be worth a tremendous amount of money, tremendous amount, a significant amount per share. So I want as many shares as I can have. So immediately, I don't really care if the stock goes up or down. I don't really care. Lose $700, so be it. Lose 400, hey, I'm up 200. Hey, I'm down 400. Hey, I'm up 500. I don't. So what? I'm not doing it for that. Right, as I am with Ford, I'm staying with Ford for the long term. See what I'm saying? I'm staying with Tesla for the long term. Right? This AMC thing, like GameStop. Remember what happened to GameStop? That's going to squeeze. Yeah, I'm down. I think I'm down at GameStop actually. I think I bought it at I think I bought it at 190. Seven? Did I buy it at 197? I can't even check that out. Bear with me here for a second. Hey, I'm becoming a stock commentator. Ta-da. Anyway, I bought GameStop is at 176. It's going up. It's going up. I bought it at 197. I didn't buy a whole lot of shares. I only owned a handful of shares. But still, $20 a share I lost, right? So I may be down on, I don't know how many shares I have, not a whole lot. But I'd be, see what I would do now is come and buy more at 176. It's going up, and recoup the $20 per share loss I made on the stocks I already own. See what I mean? They call that day trading. You kind of, I lost here, but I'm making up over here. I lost here, I make up over here. Back and forth. Boom. Buy this, sell this, sell this, buy that. Buy this, sell this, sell this, buy that. Yeah. And one thing you're not allowed to do is you're not allowed. You can do what you want to do. But it's frowned upon and you get, like a strike. If you buy a stock and you sit on it just for a while before the money is actually settled for that transaction. So let's say at 3:50 p.m., I buy AMC. And then I see it going, way down or something quickly, within 10 minutes, But I bought significant shares. I'm like, get out of it quick, get out of it, get out of it. I mean, only a few minutes have gone by. The cash that I spent for this stock hasn't settled yet. So they don't want you doing anything to their shares until that cash has settled. And I can't sell. Like, let's say I bought it at 40 and it goes to 60. Like, whatever reason, boom, shoots right up within an hour or something or a half hour. I can't – they don't want me selling that stock before the money I paid for it lands and is settled. Follow me? They don't want you doing that. I know people do, and you can, I guess, but they give – Fidelity Investments doesn't like it. I think they slap your wrist if you do that. See, GameStop's going, well, you know, GameStop's going up 177.17. Huh. It's almost up 1%. With, you know. It's probably going to, let's go back to AMC. What's AMC doing now? AMC is 38.50, up 1.15. Mm-hmm. Up 46 cents. And I think I'm making money on that. Let me check. This is fun. This is so much fun. This is so much fun. Follow Andy as he loses all his money. Yeah, GameStop, BlackBerry is down. BlackBerry is right now at 9.71 and dropping. Palantir Technologies is up 1.13%. Like their symbol's PLTR. Follow them. See what they're doing. Do the research. Do the news. So you buy it, buy a few shares. You know, they're going up. They're, you know, piggyback it. They're going up, 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 up. Get on now. Boom. And then, you know, see, and then keep a close eye on it. See where it's going. See what it's doing. You know, you buy a bunch of shares and then you sell it. You make a few bucks per share. You know, it's a few bucks you didn't have before. You know, and then the thing is, if you get good at this, you really learn how to do this. You take advice from experts. Not too many experts. What I found is I'm better off on my own. Some experts have told me things that didn't pan out. So-called experts. And there's a lot of experts like the Motley Crue. That's a band. Fool and so forth. I with all due respect to these guys, you know, and they've given a lot of great advice to a lot of people, but it seems to me that they're spokespersons for the larger movers and shakers more than retail investor. NIO is the equivalent of Tesla in China. News about Tesla in China. You know, they have a big gigafactory over there. They're making the Model 2 over there, which will be distributed worldwide. It's a very affordable Tesla that'll come in around $24,000, $25,000. And after your rebates from your local governments, from your electric companies, I think it'll come out around $18,000 or $19,000 out of pocket for a Tesla. It'll be a small Model Y hatchback. Anyway, so they're making it in China. And China doesn't like, people in China have flocked to buy Teslas, huge. So what the government do? Government made it illegal for any government employee to own a Tesla. Fact, they did that. NIO is the Chinese equivalent of Tesla, or nobody's equivalent of Tesla. Nobody. When you get, you know, 6 billion miles of data, you know, they collect from autopilot systems and from the cars on the road that they collect. If you select that in your setup menu that enables your information, not your personal information, just your driving, if the autopilot, something, phantom brakes, that kind of stuff. That kind of stuff goes back to Tesla engineering over the internet, and that's how they improve what they're doing. Anyway, 6 billion miles of that, nobody can touch them. They are so far ahead. There ain't no catching those guys. No catching them. Nobody's going to be able to beat Tesla in what they do. Nobody. NIO is like a Tesla type of company in China. So you're starting to see a whole bunch of folks flock to buy NIO in China. So I figured, you know what? Long run, and I know what they're saying about the Chinese economy and collapsing and this and that. You know, 8 billion people ain't going to live. China's not going anywhere. And Baba, you know, Alibaba is the equivalent of Amazon, except they've got four times the assets of Amazon. Four times the assets of Amazon. They ain't going anywhere. You can go to Alibaba.com and look at products that you see on Amazon and compare the prices. Look at the prices, right? So in China, people go to, and they might use Amazon, but they go to Alibaba like we go to Amazon here. They're huge, four times the assets of Amazon. I think I bought them at 175. It went to 165. It went down. I because the economy in China was having some issues. That big real estate company of, well, forget the name, you know, having some significant issues. You know, and people predicting a collapse of the Chinese economy. I don't agree with that. You know, and I think your larger, your NIOs and your Alibabas and stuff, they're not going anywhere. You know, I would, you know. But what I'm waiting for Alibaba to do, I want to get back in that stock, but I want to do it at a lower price. So I'm hoping all the Chinese company. And I'm not investing heavily in Chinese businesses. Don't get me wrong. Well, my investments are primarily United States companies for sure. But I do have some investments in Chinese companies, and for a reason. You know, I'm here to make money doing this. You know, that's what I'm doing. And I believe in NIO, you know. And hey, let Alibaba, you know, give Amazon run for the money. You know, let them do it. Yeah, yeah, you do that. So I'm waiting for Alibaba stock to go. As a matter of fact, while we're having the conversation, what is Baba stock at right now? Let's check it out. Let's check it out. Here we go. See, it's at 144 and going down. It lost $3.59 today, and the market closes in 4 minutes, right? So I bought it at 167, 165. I got out of it. You know, I got out of it when I started to see it going down. But I'm hoping it goes down. Think it'll go down to 120, 110 or lower? Because if it does, I'm in. I am in. Because you know what's going to happen? It will. And again, this isn't about happening today or tomorrow or next week or next month. It will go back to 175, 178 again. It will do it. 190 maybe. Maybe more down the road, especially as Christmas starts approaching. So I'm hoping it goes down because I want to buy more stocks, make more money, then get out of it again. See what I mean? So anyway, that's what I'm doing. And so far, it's worked for me. It might not work for you. Again, I'm not an investment strategist. I'm not a stockbroker. I'm not an analyst. I'm not an advisor, nor am I licensed to be. But I'm just, going about my own insight, what I'm witnessing, what I'm seeing. Not that everything I'm doing is right on, but I'm not doing bad. I'm not doing bad. An analyst for Raymond James, a guy by the name of Aaron Kessler.
I don't give a damn what you think you are entitled to.